you all stand with me in for a word of prayer? Let's all stand together. Aren't you glad he gives everlasting life? Amen. Let's pray. Dear gracious God and Heavenly Father, we glorify you this morning and you alone. May your Son be high and lifted up before us, dear God. May Christ have preeminence in all things. Thank you so much for saving us, for securing our salvation through the death and resurrection of your Son. I just pray that we would just focus upon you this morning in Christ's name. Amen. Shake hands and say hi to the folks around you, please. Wish them a happy Easter.
Okay, Michael.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. Want to welcome everybody to the service this morning. What a great day this is, Easter Sunday. Amen. And we're going to be able to celebrate Easter this year with a number of baptisms. And we are so glad for that because Easter is all about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and in baptism, we picture the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have a couple of young fellows we're going to baptize at the beginning of the service, and then later on, we're going to be baptizing a couple of young ladies. And so we are so glad to be able to do that. This is Micah Sliz, and we're glad that for Micah this morning. And we praise God for him, and we're going to baptize him in just a few minutes. Can everybody see Mike okay? All right, very good. Get your pictures, everybody. Okay. Micah, have you received Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior?
Yes.
I'm glad to hear that, Micah. Do you believe with all your heart that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and rose again from the dead?
Yes.
Well, Micah, that's wonderful, and we're glad for that. And so we're going to be obedient to the Lord this morning, and we're going to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Bless you. Amen. All right, buried in the likeness of his death and raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Okay, just come right along the front here. Okay. All right, very good. Just kind of stand right up here right now so everybody can get pictures, okay? All right. This is Aaron Whitwer. Smile, Aaron. Okay, all right. Okay, Aaron, let me have your attention here just for a moment, okay? Aaron, do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins on the cross and rose again from the dead?
Yes.
Have you received him as your personal Savior?
Yes.
Amen. We're glad to hear that, Aaron. And we're going to likewise baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
please turn in your hymnal to 258. 258, Christ Arose. 258, we'll sing all three verses.
Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he rose, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watched his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they sealed the dead, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep his prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he rose, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Well, good morning, everybody. I'm a little wet. Some folks, if they haven't been in the church before, when they see me up there, they're kind of surprised when I come out right away nice and dry. We don't get in the water with them, at least here. Now, when the river baptism comes, Pastor Randy and who's ever helping him are going to get good and wet. But I'm able to stay mostly dry. Sometimes I baptize my tie, but... Well, it's good to see everybody this morning. God bless you. Happy Easter to everybody. So glad you're able to be here with us today, and just looking forward to having a great time in our service today. And it's good to see so many folks here today. God bless you for coming today. Just to have a number of things I need to remind you about as far as the announcements are concerned. This evening, those who are going to be performing in Family Night, if you've signed up to sing or recite a poem or do something else, you need to be here around 4:30 this afternoon so that we can have time to practice, go over things, and get everything lined up. And so those who are performing for Family Night tonight, 4:30, right here in the auditorium. And then, of course, our service begins at 6 o'clock. And want to invite everybody. Our Family Night is always a fun time. It's a time when we just have a time of getting together and singing. And we have about 13 performances this evening of people doing various things, from singing to playing instruments to doing readings and recitations and that sort of thing. And it's always a great time, and it's a great way to finish an Easter day. And so we invite everybody to be with us for that this evening. Then, of course, all of our ministries, as usual, on Wednesday night. On Thursday, now, ladies who are involved, please make note, there will be no ladies' Bible study this Thursday at 10:30, so no ladies' Bible study. But there will be Men's Alliance, of course, 6:30 on Thursday night. So all you men, please make note of that, and hopefully you can be here for Men's Alliance on Thursday evening. And then Friday, the Senior Saints activity is going on. I'm sure if you're involved with that. You're all signed up and ready to go. That's this Friday. And then at 6:30 on Friday is the second of the financial classes that are being held. And there's a good sign-up for that, a good amount of people taking that. And so that's this Friday at 6:30. Now, please note that the mother-daughter luncheon is coming up on May 6th. And there's sign-up sheets in the foyer for that, and I hope there's a great turnout for the mother-daughter luncheon on the 6th. Note, please, the ladies' retreat is coming up, and payment is due next Sunday. So payment is due next Sunday on the ladies' retreat. If you have any questions about that, you can ask Shelley Barnes or another one of the ladies that are signed up. Now, I have a couple of needs here. One is... the red cleaning team, that's the cleaning team that is on this month, is short of help. Because of health issues, the team has lost about 4 members. And if there's anybody here who would enjoy being a part of one of our cleaning teams, we have 4 different cleaning teams. And if you'd enjoy being a part of that, not only for the fellowship, but for the service, the cleaning teams play a big role in our church. And if you would like to be a part of that, if you would speak to me, I'd be glad to get you all set up for that. And so we need about 4 team members for the red cleaning team. And if you signed up, when Brother Al Reichman was here, some of you remember, you signed up to help with their evangelism mailouts, and some of you signed up for that, but you haven't gotten your mailouts back in yet. I think there's 3 or 4 people who haven't got them back in. You need to get them in so that we can send them off. We have a large number of mailouts that have been returned, and so we need to get those back in. So please, if you take care of that just as soon as you can. All right, I think that's about it for the announcements. And now we have another pleasant thing to take care of, and that is it's always great to be able to welcome members into the church. And Terry and Shelley Allen are coming into the church this morning, and here they come down the aisle. Does this remind you of your wedding coming down the... You didn't walk together down the aisle. Yeah, I guess you didn't. I guess, no, you didn't. Anyway, well, we're so glad. First of all, we're glad that Shelley has come through her surgery well and is recuperating. So continue to pray for Shelley that she would be well. And it's just great to be able to welcome these guys back into membership and to give to them the right hand of membership. And so it's just wonderful to have them in the church again. Terry, God bless you. Welcome to membership. Shelley, God bless you.
Thank you for your loving prayers. You're welcome. Thank you to the whole church. We appreciate
Amen.
Everything you've done for us.
Amen. God bless you guys. God bless you guys. And here's your certificates. All right. So we're glad to have them back in membership. Amen? Amen. All right. Okay. Thank you, guys. God bless you. God bless you. All right. Now we're going to sing a song. He Lives, number 262. 262.
262, we're going to sing all 3 verses. 262.
I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blasts. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
It's time to take up the morning offering. This is a time when we worship the Lord through our giving. And it's really all about honoring Him as the provider of every good thing. We're stewards, not owners. And this is a form of worship. And God, the Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. And so just give as the Lord lays on your heart. Men, would you please come? We'll take up our morning offering. After the offering, we're going to have a couple more baptisms, which is exciting. All right, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for all the things that you provide for us, God. Our lives are rich in so many ways. I just pray that we would appreciate that this morning. I pray you'd bless the offering, God. I pray that you would multiply it as only you can, make it to go far in the spreading of the gospel and the preaching of the word, and dear Lord, the support of ministries for you. We give you the glory and the praise now in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.
I know. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. This is Catherine Davis. She's excited about this day. Amen. You see, she got saved. Amen. 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 Oh, Catherine, God bless you. Catherine, do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and rose again from the dead?
I do.
Amen. And have you received him into your heart and life as your Savior?
Yes, I have.
Amen. Praise God. Well, Catherine, then we're going to be obedient to the Lord, and we are going to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. No, look at him. He's taking pictures of you out there. See, people are waving at you. All right. Okay. Amen. Well, this is Tracy DePoe. Tracy, God bless you. You've accepted Christ rather recently too, haven't you?
Yes.
Amen. And you believe that he died on the cross for you and rose again from the dead?
I do.
Amen, Tracy. That's wonderful. We're glad for that. And so you've received him into your heart as your Savior.
Yes.
Okay, then Tracy, we are happy today to be able to follow the Lord and baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. When she came down into the water, she said, "Oh, I'm so glad it's not cold." Amen. This has been a blessing, hasn't it? Amen. Amen. God bless you.
You know something? Sometimes we take for granted our salvation, don't we? Wasn't that exciting? I am so thankful that he saved a wretch like me. Oh my, that is overwhelming. Thank you, Jesus.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Thus might I hide my blushing face while Calvary's cross appears. Dissolve my heart in thankfulness and melt my eyes to tears. He is here, hallelujah. He is here, amen. He is here, holy, holy. I will bless his name again. He is here, listen closely. Hear him calling out your name. He is here. You can touch him. You will never be the same. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. He is here. Listen closely. You will never be the same.
Thank you, ladies. That was very nice. Very good. We're here celebrating Christ's resurrection. We've had people join the church. We've had people baptized. What more can we say? This is a beautiful day today. If you'd all please stand and turn in your hymnals to 260. 260, Christ is risen. We're going to sing all the verses, and the kids will be dismissed to children's church when we sing.
Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Sons of men and angels say, hallelujah. Raise your joy and triumphs high, hallelujah. Sing ye heavens and earth reply, hallelujah. Lives again, our glorious King, alleluia. Where, O death, is now thy sting, alleluia. Dying once, he all doth save, alleluia. Where thy victory, O grave, alleluia. Life's redeeming work is done, alleluia. Fought the fight, the battle's won, alleluia. Death in vain forbids him rise, alleluia. Christ has opened paradise, alleluia. Soar we now where Christ has led, alleluia. Following our exalted head, alleluia. Made like him we rise, alleluia. Ours across the grave, the skies, alleluia.
Amen. You may be seated.
Well, good morning again to all of you, and I wish you a happy Resurrection Day. It is a beautiful day. It's a great day to commemorate that. You know, as I was getting ready for my message this morning, I was reading through a long list of amazing projects that were never completed. Who has some of those in your own house? Projects yet to be completed? Yeah. We have this never-ending list. Well, I was looking at some like the biggest shopping mall in the world. It's several times the size of the Mall of America. It's just the biggest one in the world, and it sits where it was constructed vacant because it was never completed. In North Korea, there is a pyramid-shaped hotel that was going to be the tallest hotel in the world. And it stands there, and it's amazing in its shape and configuration. It looks incredibly modern, but it was never rented a room because it was never completed. There is a fantastic office building, 50 stories tall, I think it is, in Brazil. Amazing building. Glass front, shines like, reflects the sun. Beautiful. Never completed. And all around the world, you can find these projects that were amazing in their scope, but never realized their intention. Which brings us to the gospel this morning. I'd like to invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because the reality is that if Jesus Christ had not risen from the dead, that would be the most amazing, uncompleted project in the world. You see, if Christ doesn't raise, redemption doesn't happen. We sometimes think that, well, I have to know Jesus. I have to believe that Jesus died on the cross, and you do. But you have to believe that he rose from the dead as well. Because the two are inseparable. They go hand in hand. They can't be torn apart. Those who believe that Christ died but don't believe that he rose are missing a key element of redemption. Look what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please, with me. Verse 12, if you have your Bibles, follow along. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? If we're preaching that Christ rose and you're saying that there's no resurrection, he says in verse 13, but if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. If you're right and there's no resurrection, then Christ didn't rise. He goes on, as Paul says, here's the consequence. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain. It has no purpose. It serves no purpose. It brings about no end. We're just talking. And your faith also is in vain. In other words, not only if Christ isn't risen, our preaching is pointless, but your faith is pointless. It doesn't mean anything. And he goes on, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. Now, we're liars. You see, if the resurrection isn't true, then the preaching is false, the faith is false, and the apostles are liars. That's a powerful, powerful declaration. Because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised up not, as you say, if so be that the dead rise not. He goes on to say this, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. If the dead don't rise, then Christ didn't rise, because he was dead. And if Christ be not raised, if he's still in the tomb, like so many other founders of so many other religions, who you can go around the world and you can go to their tombs and see where they're buried, if he's still in the tomb, your faith is vain, it's pointless. Ye are yet in your sins. In other words, your sins have not been removed. And he goes on, then all they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Those that died believing that Christ died on the cross, if there's no resurrection, they died without hope. And he goes on then, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the fact that the resurrection is real. Dear God, that Christ is at the right hand of your throne even now, as our high priest, as our mediator, And thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice and your resurrection. Just open our eyes to your word, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Paul makes it very clear. He says, if Christ didn't rise, if he died on the cross, which he did, historical fact. By the way, his resurrection is a historical fact too. But if that's not just something we made up. He was seen by over 500 witnesses. I mean, I've convicted people in trials with one witness. Okay, it's important to understand. There's no question about his resurrection. But if he didn't rise, then it says that the preaching is in vain. We're liars. Your faith is in vain. And you're not saved. And those who died before you believe in that aren't saved either. So how important is the resurrection? It's hugely important. It is the capstone of redemption. It is the capstone of redemption. And here's why. And you know what? I could talk about the resurrection for days. And the hardest part about getting ready for this lesson this morning was that there is so much more stuff than there is time. I mean, Christ is the first fruits, meaning he was the first to be resurrected, guaranteeing that we too will be resurrected. I mean, there's so many different things. There are 100 things I could talk about, but I picked three. Three that we find right in a row, beginning with Romans chapter 4 and verse 25. Turn there with me, please. Romans 4. Let's begin with verse 21, if we could, please. Paul is writing about Abraham. God called Abraham, and it says in verse 21, and being fully persuaded, that's Abraham, that what he had promised, that's God was also able to perform, it therefore was imputed to him for righteousness. So Abraham believed God. He got saved the same way you get saved and I get saved. He believed God. He had faith. But it goes on. Now it was not written for his sake alone that was imputed to him, but for us also. In other words, this information wasn't captured for him. It was captured for us, so we know it too, that faith is the way you get saved. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, the resurrection right there, who was delivered for our offenses. We get that. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Our sin nailed him to the cross. Your sin, my sin, the nails in his hands, the nails in his feet. Our offenses, all we like sheep have gone away. We've done our own thing. We've sinned. And God's laid the iniquity of us on him. We get that. But look what else it says. He was raised again for our what? Justification. Oh, that's a beautiful picture. Christ went to the cross to pay the debt of sin for the whole of humanity. His resurrection is proof that the payment was accepted. Justification means to be declared, to be found guilt-free now, to be justified. That's a beautiful thing. You see, you and I are sinners by nature. You don't believe it, just take a stroll through your own imagination. And think of the thoughts that you sometimes think. You don't have to look outside to find out that you have some evil inside you. We all do. That's how we're born. We don't have to be purposeful in it to be trapped by it. But you see, think of it this way. If I get convicted of a crime, that's the trial. I get convicted. And I get sentenced. And I go to jail. And it's said that while I'm in jail, I'm paying my debt to society. And until that debt is paid, I don't get out. But what happens when I have paid the debt? I am released. Jesus Christ went to the cross to pay. He was condemned. He was found guilty by virtue of the fact that God placed all the sin of all the world upon him. He made him to be sin for us, him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
So God puts the sin on Jesus. He's guilty. He dies. He goes to the grave, which is like the prison, to pay the debt. But guess what? What happens after 3 days? He comes out. What does that tell us? The debt's paid. He's no longer paying the debt. The debt's been paid. He's aroused. And that means that we now are justified before God. For the first time, practically speaking, since the creation of man, mankind can approach God because we have the blood of Christ applied to us and it's been fully paid. Every sin that's ever been done, every sin that's being done, every sin that will be done has been paid for. And we know that it's been paid for because Christ came out of the grave, thus proving sin could not hold him and God had accepted the full payment. Which means if you think you're going to get saved by works, you're missing the point. You're working too hard. It's already been paid. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left its crimson stain and now I've been washed. I'm white as snow. You see, the resurrection proves that the payment was accepted. We're justified. Justified. It's such an important thing to understand because, folks, you can't do enough to not go to hell. You can't do it. There's no good you can do that will say, God's not up there going, okay, I'm going to keep score. And if you're above a C in behavior, you're in. The only grade that matters is holy. Are you holy? And since you and I can't be holy, we know that. We need somebody else's holiness to be imputed to us. And that holiness is the righteousness of Christ. That's what's so amazing. See, if Christ hadn't raised, then it would mean that the payment's still being made. That the debt's still lingering. But the debt for sin is not lingering. It's been done. It's been done. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is proof of God's purchase of us by the blood of Christ. It's a beautiful thing. But Christ had to raise. He had to rise. And I'm so glad that he did. Secondly, look at verse 5, or verse 1 of chapter 5. So we're justified. We're declared righteous. We have the ability as sinful people to stand before a holy God acceptable because of what Jesus has done. The second thing we see in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 is says, therefore, because of that, being justified, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when you and I are in our natural state, we're enemies of God. Now, we tend to think of enemies as being opposing parties, each which has merit to their argument. In this case, we are opposing God in our natural state, but we have no merit to our argument. We are simply enemies. When a ruler sat in his throne room, enemies would never be allowed to approach. Wasn't safe. Because of our sin and our iniquity, we are on the other side of the fence, so to speak. God is holy and righteous. We are not. We are enemies of God. And if you don't believe that, take a look at how much of humanity actually rejects God, hates God, does things in direct opposition to God. God has been constantly under attack since he created mankind in every way possible. Whole nations are devoted to stamping out religion. Whole nations, countries kill people. Over the course of human history, people have died because they loved God. If you don't think that humanity is at war with God, look at the secular culture. It is. There's only one thing in our totally tolerant society that's totally intolerant of. They're all intolerant of. And that's godliness. That's just true. But you see, because we're justified, we have peace with God. The enmity, the antagonism that was between mankind and God is gone. And all of a sudden now, there is this peace. The Bible says in Romans 5, chapter 10, for if when we were enemies, it doesn't say we were just opposed. It doesn't say that we were in disagreement, but the word enemies. We were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You see, the resurrection is in there as well. We, because we can be declared righteous because of the resurrection, we can also then have peace with God. You cannot know the peace of God until you have peace with God. It's not possible. And the only way that we can have peace as sinners with a holy God is through the sacrifice, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He made peace. He made peace. And peace begets access. James chapter 4, turn over there with me if you have a moment, please. James 4. Look at verse 14 of James chapter 4. I think I have the wrong spot there, I apologize. I apologize for the reference misplacement, but the Bible calls us to come boldly under the throne of grace. To come boldly. Because we are invited to come before God boldly. We were enemies, and now we're invited in. We were strangers, now we're invited in. We're at enmity with God, now we're invited in. What's the difference? What is the difference there between those two? Why did we go from one to the other so quickly? And that's actually Hebrews chapter 4. And it says this, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How can I come before the throne of grace? I can come forward boldly. How can I come forward boldly? Because I have peace with God. How can I have peace with God? Because I've been justified by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the only way. But now all of a sudden I can come to God. And I can seek wisdom and help and hope from him. Beautiful things open up to me because of my access, because of peace with God. So because there is the resurrection, we can experience justification. Because we can experience justification, we can have access to God because of the peace we have with God. It's beautiful. And the third thing is access. Look at verse 2 of Romans chapter 5. Access to God's grace is a reality. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, which we looked at, and peace with God, which gives us access through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Oh, man. Oh, man. Grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor. All the good, all the richness, all the blessedness that comes with God, who is all good, we can have access to. We can be recipients of the goodness of God. We can receive them and have them enrich our lives in ways beyond imagination. But only because we have peace with God. And that only because we have justification. And that only because Christ rose. You see, it all goes together. Without the resurrection, there is no justification. Without justification, there is no peace. Without peace, there is no access. Without access, there is no grace. If Christ has not risen, we are most miserable of all. See, the resurrection is absolutely essential. It's so important. So, so important. We can have access to things we don't deserve because grace is unmerited favor. In 1 Corinthians 1, 4 through 6, it says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given to you by Christ Jesus, that in everything ye are enriched by him. Oh, everything. Not some things, everything. In all utterances and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that you might have life. And you might have life, and might have it more abundantly. Don't you think that the God who spoke the stars into existence and created the heavens and rolled them out like a scroll and keeps all things going can bless your life? Can reach into your life and make it better? Are you kidding me? We are pathetic. We can't decide what to wear in the morning. We can't decide what kind of coffee to get at Starbucks. We're indecisive. We make mistakes. We lose our temper. We want to drive the guy that cuts us off in the road. We wish we had a machine gun on the front of our car. Oh, if I only had the bazooka. Laser. I mean, the person in line ahead of us at the grocery store, the five item or less, who has 20 items, we're thinking, I can't believe it. We count their items. We're petty, puny people. And we need God. We need him. And you know what keeps us from admitting it? Pride. Pride. That's all it is. The same pride that's had Eve saying, well, I could be like a God. Started then, it's been going on ever since. Pride. And we miss out. But see, because of the resurrection, we can be justified. Because we are going to be justified, we have peace with God. Because we have peace with God, we have access to God. Because we have access to God, we find ourselves bathing in the grace and goodness and unmerited favor of our God. We have peace that we don't deserve. Peace that passes understanding. Joy unspeakable. I mean, it goes beyond what we can even comprehend. You begin to go, God, I don't deserve this. You're right. But that's not the point. That's why it's unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. But in all these things, there is one thing to remember. And it showed up in all three of the things in Romans 4:25, Romans 5:1, and Romans 5:2. All of them include this component called faith. Faith. You see, you don't get justified unless you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead. And you don't have peace with God unless you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead. And you don't have access to God unless you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead. And you do not have the grace of God unless you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead. You see, the resurrection is the most important capstone of anything that's ever been done in all of history. And God says, all you have to do to access, to experience hope and peace and joy and forgiveness and mercy and grace and goodness and love and compassion and forgiveness, it just goes on and on. All you have to do is believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Believe that he went to the cross, that he went to the grave, that he rose again. That's it. That's all Easter is about, is realizing that it truly is finished. The battle is over. That sin has been defeated, and the proof of that is in the resurrection. This has been a good day. But you know what would make this day even better? If somebody here who has never accepted Christ as their Savior, never acknowledged that Jesus died on the cross, that man on the cross was there for me. That it wasn't his sin that put him there, it was mine. And folks, when we admit that we're sinners, we're just joining the rest of humanity. We're not setting ourselves apart as different. We're acknowledging our sameness. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we realize that he died on the cross for us, that he went to the grave for us, and that he rose again victorious for us. And because of that, if we would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, believe that he died for us, that he went to the grave, that he rose again, that he's seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven even now, If we will believe that, God will change us. We'll be what's called born again. And that's a beautiful thing. So the only thing that could make this day any better as far as this service goes is if someone here who has never accepted Christ as their Savior would do so. Because if you don't, then you leave undone, incomplete, awaiting final touches, the most important project of your life, your salvation. But not because it isn't there, but because you won't reach out and take it. Please do so if you haven't. And if you have, if you're here and you're a Christian and God has blessed you with the hope and the joy and the certainty of salvation, let's live the reality of that. Let's live the power of that. Let's live the purpose of that every day. For nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Amen? Amen. Let's all bow our heads, please. Let's just bow our heads now. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, I want to thank you so much for this morning. God, I am very mindful this morning of my imperfections, my shortcomings, my sin. And I thank you so much, dear God, that your Son went to the cross for that, that he was buried and that he rose again, that he ascended into heaven and he sent the Holy Spirit. What a perfect plan for an imperfect people. The most powerful thing about the tomb is that it's empty. And I thank you for that. God, I would just pray that if there's anyone here that has never accepted you as their Savior, God, help them to see that that is not a step down, but a step up. That is not a step toward bondage, but a step toward freedom. That, dear God, that is a step toward mercy and grace. Give you the glory and the praise now, in Christ's name, amen. Let's all stand together, please. Turn to 357, excuse me. We're going to sing the song, Redeemed. Had a special request for this to close, and it's a great song to sing. 357, Redeemed. And if you are here this morning and you want to come up and just learn more about Christ, please do so. Come up here to say a word to me or Pastor Mike. We'll be glad to talk to you about that. If you're a Christian and you want to take today as a day you drive a stake in the ground and say, God, I'm going to do some things different today. You want to do that at the altar? Please do that. Whatever God's called you to do.
I'd like to do that.
Amen. All right. When we sing, you come do that. And anybody else as well, please. Don't be bashful. You're among friends. It's the safest place in the world. And everyone will celebrate and rejoice with you. Let's sing 357.